The fact that Bitcoin is now legal tender in a country is absolutely astonishing. Yesterday, some nerds discovered a system that allows magic internet money to emerge by sending messages back and forth. Today, a country decided to adopt this system as their currency. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Bitcoin Audible, and I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. I am working on a couple of really great longer pieces, and I haven't even updated bitcoinaudible.com/vote for like ages. I've done like half of the pieces on that page now. Super sorry about not keeping up with that. Gonna refresh it probably tomorrow. But thanks be to Satoshi, because I probably wouldn't have gotten an episode out today, but Gigi dropped a short and really great little piece putting the El Salvador legal tender event into context. So perfect way to get a quick episode out for you guys, particularly for those who didn't get a chance to read it, and keep working on the longer read coming soon, hopefully, fingers crossed, tomorrow. Don't forget to check out, before we get into it, the great products and services that make this show possible from our sponsors, the Bitbox O2 Bitcoin Box for unbreakable security around your Bitcoin keys. You get 5% off your slick little hardware wallet when you pick up the Bitbox O2 using code GUY at checkout. You can find them at guyswan.com/bitbox, or you just go to GuySwan's right there at the top of the page. And of course, the auto stacking service for all Bitcoiners, swanbitcoin.com/guy. Stack sats today, yesterday, tomorrow, next week, next month, last month, always. If you are a Bitcoiner, you will stack forever. Forever, Laura. Do it automatically so you don't have to micromanage that crap. Swan Bitcoin is the way. Check both of our amazing sponsors out at guyswan.com. That's my name. Don't wear it out. Now let's get into today's excellent little article from Gigi, and it's titled, Moving Towards a Bitcoin Standard, The Stairway to Omnipresence, by Gigi. What a historic day. The first country moved towards a Bitcoin standard, albeit partially. A lot can be said about Bukele's decision to make Bitcoin legal tender in El Salvador. Yes, it is a government mandate. Yes, it is unclear whether the Lightning Network protocol and Bitcoin protocol stack can handle the load. Yes, the government wallet is not everything it could be. Yes, the airdrop requires KYC. Yes, there will be pushback and FUD and confusion and all of it. However, the fact that Bitcoin is now legal tender in a country is absolutely astonishing. Yesterday, some nerds discovered a system that allows magic internet money to emerge by sending messages back and forth. Today, a country decided to adopt this system as their currency, with warts and all. It seems to me that the Bitcoin standard will continue to emerge step by step, individual by individual. Some of these individuals will be CEOs of publicly traded companies. Others will be leaders of nations. No matter your background or profile, the steps you take on your Bitcoin journey will be similar. First, you will acquire and hold Bitcoin. After you've successfully managed to hold on to your Bitcoin and ride the roller coaster for a while, I assume you don't have lettuce hands, you will most likely discover that Bitcoin is superior savings technology. Once this realization hits you, you will start stacking sats. Now it gets interesting. Over time, the sats you stack will gain in purchasing power, while the fiat money in your bank account continually depreciates. As the weeks, months, and years go by, most of your savings will end up being in Bitcoin, no matter how many sats you stack each week. you will start valuing your sats more and more, while you will start valuing your fiat money less and less. You will start to think in Bitcoin. You will start to measure the potential of everything else against the sats you could have stacked. You will realize the cost of every choice you make, the cost of doing something else, the cost of not stacking sats. You will realize what the exponential monetization process that is happening before your eyes represents, the ultimate opportunity cost. You will lower your time preference. You will adopt the necessary responsibility to use Bitcoin properly. You will own nothing but Bitcoin, and you will be happy. This is not a sustainable situation, of course. Your time preference can be low, but it can't be infinitely low. You have to eat, you have to dress, you have to pay for shelter. You will have emergencies that will require you to part with your precious sats. That is okay. After all, money is a means to an end, not an end in and of itself. After a while, you will realize that being paid in fiat only to convert most of it into Bitcoin doesn't make a lot of sense. You will talk to your employer. You will tell him, "Hey, why don't you pay me in Bitcoin?" He might be hesitant at first, but if he's awesome, he will agree that paying good employees with good money is a sensible thing to do. Congratulations, you are now on a Bitcoin standard. As we can see, switching to a Bitcoin standard is a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen overnight. It usually involves the following steps. 1. Buying Bitcoin. 2. Holding Bitcoin. 3. Stacking sats. 4. Spending Bitcoin. 5. Earning Bitcoin. 6. Dropping fiat money. Most people are still at 1, having acquired some sats for whatever reason, presumably to speculate and sell them for fiat at a later point. The main narrative of Bitcoin is currently stuck at 2, Bitcoin as pristine collateral or digital real estate or an inflation hedge. While this narrative is true, it is also incomplete. Bitcoin is way more than just gold 2.0. Most Bitcoiners are at 3, farming fiat and stacking sats. They understand where Bitcoin is heading and use Bitcoin as their main savings technology. They don't have any intention of selling for fiat money ever. They're playing the long game. Step 4 and 5 is where El Salvador comes in. Once Bitcoin is legal tender, earning and spending Bitcoin becomes not only easy, but natural. Yes, Bitcoin is still more volatile than most fiat currencies. However, this will change over time as Bitcoin adoption grows. And to be honest, many fiat monies are so volatile to the downside that, arguably, most Bitcoiners feel more comfortable with Bitcoin as their unit of account, volatile to the upside, as it may be. Very few people are at step 6, having exited the fiat system completely. But make no mistake, this is where things are heading. Bitcoin and fiat monies are in direct competition with each other, since monetary networks are singular networks. You cannot store a single unit of value in two things at the same time. You have to decide, do I save in Bitcoin or do I save in something else? Communication networks, for example, don't have this property. I can send you the same message on WhatsApp and on Signal and via email. While they do compete, usage of one does not exclude usage of the other. Money is different. You have to make a decision for every transaction, including transactions with your future self, which we call saving. Step 6 is where the rubber meets the road. Step 6 is where conflict with the legacy system will unavoidably arise. Step 6 is the inevitable result of unleashing Bitcoin upon the world. A circular economy of 2.1 quadrillion sats exchanged for goods and services. Seamless, borderless, final, instant, and frictionless. I call this stage Stage O. And that concludes GG's most recent piece, Bitcoin, or excuse me, moving towards a Bitcoin standard, the stairway to omnipresence. Really quick, let's hit our sponsor for today, and we will jump right back in. I'll have a little guy's take on this piece. So, like Gigi said, most Bitcoiners are at stage 3, stacking sats. I'm sure if you are there, you're using Swan Bitcoin, but if you aren't yet, it is time to get there. We are moving fast toward the omnipresence of Bitcoin into everything we do online. I am currently on stage 4 and 5, headed towards 6, but not quite there. But the best way to get past 3 is to automate your stacking of sats. SwanBitcoin.com/guy. That is my referral link for the simplest automatic sat stacking service out there. You get low fees. You can buy every day, week, month, whatever amount you want. You set it up once and just forget it. And if you're still trying to get past the first stages, you have a company or a substantial amount of money that you want to allocate, but you need a partner in this. You really want somebody to break down the process, to answer any questions you have, assist you with holding your own keys and getting a hardware wallet, etc. Check out Swan Private. Swan is an amazing team and service. They are there to help you get into your Bitcoin standard in any way that they can. Check them out at swanbitcoin.com/guy. Bitcoin is omnipresent. You know, there's a lot of really great simple framing in this piece that is hard to get around. And I just want to reiterate how significant this is, because I think it's so easy for the legal tender announcement and everything to just, it's now the new norm. Okay, yeah, Bitcoin's legal tender in a country. But this rollout is an absolutely massive thing. And the fact that this worked in under 3 months and is actually working right now in El Salvador, when something like, I think it was Nick Carter posted a tweet about how the Obamacare website, you know, took them like $1 billion or something. A website literally costs like $1 billion and like a year's worth of work, and was an utter failure for months and months and months after its release. I mean, if you want to compare waste in those two situations, there is zero comparison to be made. The Bitcoin rollout in and the Chivo or Chivo wallet, whatever it is actually pretty astounding, to be perfectly honest. There was an article on CNBC. Y'all probably saw it on Twitter. A bunch of people were making fun of it. It came out today, and it's titled, El Salvador's New Bitcoin Wallets Could Cost Western Union $400 million a Year. This is just an extraordinary way to frame this. Imagine that we have an impoverished population and country, and we have just witnessed the very first time that they, because there's some new filtration system put in, that now for the very first time, they actually have default access to clean water. They don't have to, the normal water that they get is clean and drinkable. But for years and years, for decades, really, there has been this giant water filtration conglomerate that's been charging them all $1 per glass to get clean drinking water out of the water that they are using. Yet it costs this company like 1 penny to do this. And so the population finally gets free, clean drinking water at essentially no extra cost. But CNBC puts out an article titled, New Filtration System Will Cost Water R Us $1 billion a Year. Now, maybe that wasn't the intent, but the fucking article should have been titled, El Salvadorans to Recoup a Wasteful, Massive $400 Million Cost by Switching to the Fast and Frictionless Bitcoin System. Western Union's cost is El Salvadoran's savings. I'm sorry, but I don't give a shit about Western Union. I hope they go out of business. Their business model shouldn't exist. The fact that Western Union can exist in any way, shape, or form is a problem. The fact that we are actually solving this problem and it's being framed like bad news is really kind of funny. But this is the ubiquity of Bitcoin happening before our eyes. This is proving CNBC is admitting that Bitcoin is going to solve this problem. And of course, this is going to be terrible for Western Union. Genuinely, I am distraught. I will lose sleep over this. But Bitcoin Beach actually had a really great thread just the other day, which I'm linking to. You know what? Screw it. We'll do a dual feature read today. It's not even that long. It's like 6 tweets, I think. But I think this is how it's going to play out. Which is actually funny because something that I suspected would be a big problem, which actually hasn't been that big of a problem so far. But we're gonna read this. I'm gonna quit talking around it. So this is from Bitcoin Beach. So for anybody who doesn't know, this is kind of where Bitcoin in El Salvador started. And they've been tweeting out and kind of updating on how these things are working, what it's like on the ground there in El Salvador. And in El Zante in particular, which is where this all started. But here is the tweet thread. It says, as the Bitcoin law goes into full effect, this is what I expect to see happen. This was just like a day before September 7th when this went into effect. First, I think September 7th will be anticlimactic. I expect the Chivo wallet will launch on the 7th, but most probably it will be very buggy and challenged. This is normal for these types of rollouts. The media and political opposition will highlight every issue and stumble. There will most likely be lots of frustration in those trying to get their free $30 in Bitcoin. After a couple of weeks, they will be calling it a failure and predicting this means the end of Bitcoin. Probably no initial Lightning Network capability. People will pounce on this. There could be normal miner fees to send to and from other wallets. Maybe they subsidize outgoing. People will point to this and say the government is breaking their promises of no fees. It will be called a failure, and media will move on to other things. Slowly, the wallet will work out the bugs. Lightning Network capability will be added. Increasing number of Salvadorans will use Bitcoin for the first time. They will watch the value of Bitcoin increase versus the US dollar. El Salvador will, for the first time that anyone could remember, see a net inflow of immigration versus outgoing immigration. It will become the economic hub of Latin America and the natural location for regional headquarters. Bitcoin in El Salvador will start to become less political. People will begin to say they were never against Bitcoin, but just against the way the law was rolled out. The number of users will continue to grow. Foreign companies will continue to move to El Salvador, bringing good jobs. We will see the announcement of another country making Bitcoin legal tender. El Salvador will see much higher economic growth rates than neighboring countries. The IMF will warn that it is not sustainable and/or claim the growth was not due to the Bitcoin law, but because of prior programs. A few years on, they will say it was a no-brainer that Bukele pushed the Bitcoin law. It will be suggested that El Salvador was just in the lucky position to not have their own currency, as Bitcoin was ascending. So it was just blind luck that led them to leading the way. The network effects will continue to grow. Every few months, the number of people using Bitcoin in El Salvador in real ways will increase. Business leaders who oppose Bukele will start to realize the economic benefits of Bitcoin rails versus the credit card rails. Now, that's the end of this one. And this is typically how I would see this rolling out. Just like CNBC talking about how much this is going to be terrible for Western Union, like we should care at all that they are about to, take a hit. But the media is inevitably, they thrive on bad news. If anything good happens, it's the worst day for them ever. They need bad news. They need the world to go to hell. They need to show every single thing that goes wrong, particularly if it's something that they think is stupid. I mean, this is clearly bad for some of the most important financial institutions in the world. Western Union is going to have a $400 million haircut this year, potentially, because of the adoption of a Bitcoin system. You think that they're just going to let all the spin be about how great this new Bitcoin system is? You think it's not worth it to them to invest $400 million to make sure the narrative is against it? Like, I'm just not that naive. I think that the people who stand to lose a lot of money will invest in making sure the narrative is that the thing that is stealing from them, quote unquote, the thing that is taking their friction that they profit off of away, is going to be deemed as evil and stupid and a terrible idea. And the more capital they have to lose, the more capital they will devote to making sure that is the way it appears. But shockingly, the rollout has been, or at least according to a bunch of the people I follow, and Bitcoin Beach being a great example, it's worked out pretty good. Aaron Van Wertem showed paying for, I think he went to McDonald's and paid with sats, paid using his Lightning wallet. Saw a couple other videos of people doing the same thing. A lot of people using Moon Wallet. I saw someone using a Bitcoin ATM. Saw two people using Bitcoin ATM. Alex Gladstein was there. What happened with, what's her face? Oh man, I forgot her name. It's like Rose. It started with like an R, I think. But it was somebody just at like some little coffee shop, and he paid for his meal just with a QR code, and then posted her Strike donation balance, and like a whole crap ton of people donated just for doing the video. And then he did the same thing at a Bitcoin ATM. And Bitcoin Beach actually has another like couple of tweets on this. This is what we're seeing from the seventh rollout and implementation. It's actually gone a lot smoother than we anticipated. Pretty remarkable, really, considering the crazy fast timeline. The Chivo wallet has been more or less functional, and lots of Bitcoin commerce is happening. For day one, people are getting their $30 of Bitcoin. Onboarding doesn't appear to be any more frustrating than any other KYC entity. Yeah, it's a pretty low bar, though. Stores from McDonald's to Starbucks, they're letting folks pay for their coffee in Bitcoin. Excited to see business utilizing many different Bitcoin point-of-sale solutions. Definitely can see there are dozens of teams working long hours. Blah, 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 providing all these solutions really showcase the strength of using Bitcoin with a decentralized open protocol. You can have hundreds of teams working independently and without needing to coordinate efforts and hit timelines that would be otherwise unthinkable. And that's the other good thing, is that basically people can use a non-custodial solution, or they can use all sorts of other services. Like, they don't have to, like, the Chivo wallet is just a, I hope I'm saying that. If I'm saying that wrong, I apologize. But that's literally just an option for people. But the idea is that, and everybody can, I think it was Aaron Van Wertem, I think it was the McDonald's one, was using OpenNode, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But in El Salvador, Pizza Hut, Starbucks, McDonald's, these are massive global corporations. They are accepting Bitcoin at their checkout, and they did so essentially in a matter of weeks just to be in line with this rollout, and it is working. These are massive global corporations. What happens when they realize the implementation is exactly the same and that this will literally work anywhere in the world with essentially no significant changes? As I have said, and as Ross Stevens talks about in, oh man, what was that piece? Don't think it was the shareholder letter. Maybe it was the Stone Ridge shareholder letter. I think that's the one where it's brought up. I don't remember exactly. I'll link to it anyway in the show notes. It's really, really good no matter what they mention in that one. But there was a discussion, and he talked about it with Michael Saylor, about how this is chapter two of Bitcoin. This is where the store of value narrative, where the base layer secure money becomes a protocol stack for a medium of exchange, where this becomes the underlying open source network to move capital all over the world without any friction. And it is exactly the one that has the liquidity to go to every single country and have an on and off ramp. In Gigi's article here, this is stage four and stage five in action. Spending and earning Bitcoin. I think this can move a lot faster than people suspect. And, you know, in the context of Western Union's cost, $400 million is being saved. Enterprises, families, with Western Union alone and the remittance problem, $400 million of capital that was just thrown away will be salvaged. That is one border and one problem that is solved by something that will solve a huge amount of problems. Project that onto the rest of the world. This is not a billion-dollar fix. This isn't like getting rid of a $10 billion problem. This, just for this purpose alone, just for what it can do in the area of remittances, this is a multi-trillion dollar solution. And that's the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning of a Bitcoin standard. You know, Gigi talked about in this article, there's a quote. It says, "Once Bitcoin is legal tender, earning and spending Bitcoin becomes not only easy, but natural. Yes, Bitcoin is still more volatile than most fiat currencies. However, this will change over time as Bitcoin adoption grows. And to be honest, many fiat monies are also volatile to the downside, that arguably, most Bitcoiners feel more comfortable with Bitcoin as their unit of account, volatile to the upside as it may be." Dude, to people in Argentina, Zimbabwe, Lebanon, Venezuela, Bitcoin is not volatile. All money is volatile. Bitcoin is simply something that doesn't constantly go down. Bitcoin is simply money that doesn't have the capital controls, the sanctions, the massive haircuts every single time they try to use it. It's the money in Cuba that doesn't have a lie about its exchange rate, where the official exchange is 24 to 1, but the actual market exchange is 70 to 1, and you're getting robbed for more than half of the value just in the conversion. To people in those situations, to people increasingly, this is increasingly the situation of people under fiat systems all over the world. And we've just had a domino effect. It's one country after the other, and there's more on the way. I think the US is going to be in this situation in the not too distant future. In those situations, Bitcoin isn't volatile. Bitcoin is just the one that works. Like Timur Azari said in his article on Lebanon that we read on this show, a volatile currency for volatile times. And it's stage 5 and 6. It's earning and spending Bitcoin, the medium of exchange phase of this protocol stack and this new monetary system that we are getting into that is expanding at an incredible pace right now. This is when the exchange rate starts to stabilize. It's when the liquidity grows so much in people just exchanging it for goods and services, people using it on a regular basis, that it becomes even extremely difficult for people with very high volume trading to significantly move the market. It will always be volatile while traders are the ones that are dominating most of the volume. But when commerce, when day-to-day commerce and savers become the major volume, major force for liquidity in the global market, the price will become far more stable. And this is essentially opening that door. This is step one to get us there. So anyway, I've ranted plenty of time, and I got another show here in just a little bit. So let's just go ahead and wrap this one up. A huge thanks to Gigi. Always got a fun little piece to read. This is really great. Go to dergigi.com, dergigi.com. I have the link in the show notes so you can check it out. But everybody knows Gigi. Follow him. Go to his page. Read or listen to 21 Lessons. All that great stuff. And a huge thank you to the Bitbox02 from Shift Crypto and swanbitcoin.com/guy for sponsoring this show and keeping this project alive. Thank you all so much. This is Bitcoin Audible. And until next time, everybody, take it easy. This has been Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.